thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Good morning. Y'all go for a good morning. Well, it's so good to see you all today. It's good to be here with my good friend, Dr. Andre Rogers. He left out one part of the story. And so even in seminary, Pastor Rogers, we used to actually study. And so I was married at the time, and my wife worked in the evening session back when she worked. She's on a semi-retirement break. We have 8 biological children. And so she actually works harder than I do. But when she would come home at that point in time, when we didn't have any kids, she would come home and find he wasn't doctor, he was Michael Rogers dead, laying on the floor after we done got through studying Greek or Hebrew. He'd be there on the floor when she came home that evening. But it's just good to be here with you all on today. As he accurately said, I really do have a fondness for CIU. And that's not, I'm not just saying that, I really do. I only have 2 pictures. Hey, James, I only got 2 pictures in my office. And one is my family, and another one is on my books. They took a picture of when I came to CIU years ago. And it was one of my favorite speaking. I've spoken a lot, but it's one of my favorite speaking engagements. And so I keep that picture that just reminds me to stay on mission, because CIU is about being on mission. Amen? I want to thank the Lord publicly for the privilege to come and share with you all. And I also want to thank Dr. Smith. And praise God for him being here today. And we're definitely praying for you. And you got me in trouble this week. Well, actually last week. And so I've got 8 children. And I had a chance to observe Church Refreshed online. And that first session was absolutely incredible. So much so, I had my 5 oldest children listen to it, take notes, and send it back to me. One of my kids didn't take notes accurately, so we got into it over Dr. Smith's notes. And him not taking notes accurately on Dr. I want to encourage you guys. When I was in seminary, we had Dr. Charles Stanley come through, and there are just some messages in seminary that kind of just stick with you. And Dr. Stanley did a series of messages on prayer. And that message from Church Refresh, if you haven't, I want to encourage you to go get it, save it on your device, put it in some foil, because as you're in ministry, you're going to need it and you can use it. Amen? One of the things he talked about is what is the secret sauce? And the first of 5 points under the secret sauce, one of the sub points was connect, connect, connect. And to spend money making sure you connect with preachers. And he also said, don't be hanging out with no broke preachers. Smile at me. And he talked about your faith ought to have feet. And so I'm going to share 2 things with you guys at the end of each sermon. I'm going to share 1 gift for you guys today. Then I'm going to share another gift tomorrow that I want to give to CIU. Let's pray. God, we do thank you and praise you, Lord, for this privilege, God, to be here, Lord, at Columbia International University. And we thank you, God, for what this university has done, the contribution, the missionaries, the pastors, now, God, the nurses, the administrators, the counselors, the camp workers, the teachers, the business people, God, that they are deploying across this world. So I know today, God, is not just a mere speaking engagement, God, it's strategic for those who are here in person and those who are online as well. And God, you know I'm here on assignment today, God, and I mean business. But God, I know, God, if you don't work through me, God, it's a waste of my time and their time as well. So I pray, God, in spite of me, God, you would speak to these students and encourage their hearts. It's in Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. All who agree said amen. Amen. Well, Dr. Rogers made reference to my first master's degree in health services administration. My plan was to go into healthcare administration, and now his daughter is studying in a master's program here in an MBA with an emphasis in healthcare, health services administration. One of the things you learn when you work in a hospital setting is that everybody is not the same or in the same condition in a hospital. One of the entry ports of a hospital is the ER. When you go into the ER, that means that something is not going well, you're concerned about something. And when you go into the ER, they have this thing called triage. And so it's not first come, first serve. It's basically, we're gonna figure out who's the sickest and serve those who are the sickest first. If by chance you end up getting admitted into the hospital, they're gonna identify you as level 1 through 5. Level one basically says it's a limited minor problem that you probably could have stayed home for. Smile at me. Level two is a minor problem with no risk for death, and it's not likely to permanently alter the patient's health status. Level three says that it's a problem where risks are low, a full recovery is expected. But level five says there's an immediate significant threat to life or physiologic functioning. In other words, there's a major problem. In our country right now, due to COVID, many are suggesting, because of a number of factors, that the church is in the ICU. The church is in trouble. Some are saying, you know, what if you look at church attendance, the church is in ICU. When you look at church finances, the church is in ICU. When you look at church service and people who are volunteering, then the church is in ICU. If you look at all the church scandals across our country and across denomination, they will suggest that the church is in ICU. I want to suggest to you today that the church is not in trouble and the church is not in ICU. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, God says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen? I want to suggest in today's sermon, as we focus on why the church is not in ICU, I want to suggest that the church is not in ICU because of students and schools like CIU. I want to say that the church is not in trouble because of students. If you're a student, wave your hand online. If you're a student, wave your hand right here. Because of students and schools like CIU, the church is not in ICU. Amen? You all are giving your lives to go out here and serve the local church, serve the international church, serve in missions. And I want to encourage you guys not to be discouraged, not to be downcast, but because you all are on the scene, because the Holy Spirit has called you, because God is at work in your life, the church is not in ICU. Amen? Amen. Oh, yeah, I need your help this morning. Amen? And so, boy, whenever I say the church is not in ICU, I want you all to say because of CIU. Let's practice together, all righty? The church is not in ICU. Because of CIU. Come on now, boy. Do y'all really believe in CIU and what God has called you to do? Amen. The church is not in ICU. Amen. The church is not in trouble because of CIU and students like you. Amen. I want to share with you guys a number of reasons, as my time allows. I probably won't get to all my reasons why the church is not in ICU and why the church is not in trouble. In a healthcare environment, they have these things called advanced directives. Advanced directives are basically where patients, in advance, they fill out what their last will, their healthcare preferences are, if they get into a jam, how to care for them, how to intervene, how not to intervene. They give advanced directives. May I suggest that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has given us advanced directives. In fact, he's given us 66 folders of advanced directives called the Bible. And when you all read the Bible, within those advanced directives, he gives us specific instructions on why the church is not in trouble and what to do when it seems like the church is in trouble. The number one reason, or the first reason, is because God told us in advance that, God told us in advance that there would be an exodus from church. So right now, people look at me, well, man, what's your church attendance? And man, don't worry about that. And, you know, only a third have come back. Only 40% have come back. Only 70% have come back. The church will never be the same again. And in some academic circles, you all will hear about deconstruction, Christian deconstruction. And, boy, will the church survive? Because you got folks from cross movement and theological realms who are deconstructing from the church. And I'm saying, why in the world are we surprised? And why are we concerned? Because God told us in advance there would be an exodus from the church. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5 says, now the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some would depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. Why are we surprised when we experience what God has already prophesied? God already told you it's going to be a great exodus. So why are you surprised that churches are empty? Watch this now. The good news is the church is not in ICU. Amen. Number two, God told us in advance that people would choose, watch this now, people would choose their truth over the truth. People would choose their truth over the truth. See, guys, you all are gospel peddlers. You all are truth peddlers. And boy, it's easy while you're in class to put together papers and put together footnotes and argue back and forth. But the reality is when you get out there in the battlefield, you've got a bunch of people who don't have your background, who don't have your education, who don't have your pedigree, who don't share your faith and can care less what you believe and what you have studied. And the question becomes, will you be a truth teller? You know what, boy, God's church is not nice to you because of people like you. Because God told us in advance that people would choose their truth over the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. Note the word order. He didn't say Jesus Christ. He said Christ Jesus. He's emphasizing the deity and the power of Jesus Christ. And let me encourage you guys, as you all go out and minister, the devil ain't afraid of your PhD. The devil's not afraid of your THM. The devil's not afraid of all your brilliance and all your... The devil says, you know what? There's a God behind you, the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Are you standing in faith and trusting and believing what God is going to do through you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he comes and he says, preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming, and that time is now, when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you at CIU, always, number one, be sober-minded. Number two, endure suffering. Number three, do the work of an evangelist. Number four, fulfill your ministry. Guys, you got to fulfill your ministry. You know, this is one of the places on the earth I'm excited about coming to, because you got a group of people who have made a sacrifice to come and to prepare for a lifetime of ministry. You guys are on the front lines. You know what? I could go off to all these other different schools, but you know what? I want to do it for Christ. I want to function with a biblical worldview. I want to sacrifice the goods of the world for a season where I can be prepared to go out there and make a difference for God. You know the challenge today? People want to reduce theology to 140 characters. They want to reduce how to live to a meme. You know, we live in a day and age where you guys are going to minister. It's not how sound it is, it's how it sounds. You see, it's not how sound it is. It's how it sounds. And so now, boy, you're bringing sound doctrine that's going to help people long term, that's going to add weight to the soul, that's going to give direction to that mother who's lost her child, that's going to give direction to that businessman, and what's going to give him significance and purpose and a rhyme for his living. But in our culture and our society, they've got itching ears. Watch this now. People used to go to church, and when the pastor said something they didn't agree with, they adjusted their theology. Now people go to church and the pastor says something they don't agree with, they change their church instead of changing their theology. Amen. And that's the era that you guys are ministering in. And that's why this school is sacrificing, trying to prepare you all how to engage a countercultural, a post-Christian society. How do you engage theologically with what people are saying and how they're living? Talk to this young man right here, and boy, he's preparing for psychology, and boy, he's preparing to go out. Say, what's your target? Who you want to talk to? I want to target kids 16 to 21 years old. Fantastic. Because these kids, 16 to 21 years old, their mind has already been exploited by watching movies and watching Instagram and watching TikTok. And they've been exploited online already. Now he's got to come back and try putting their minds back together again. The church is not in trouble. The good news is the church is not in the ICU. But the church is not in ICU. Amen. Guys, we got to be careful because we need to reject the naturalism of our day. There are a bunch of isms that are afloat today, and naturalism is one of them. People are focused on the supernatural. Watch this now. Not the supernatural. They're focused on the supernatural. What is supernatural? What can I accomplish with material things? What can I accomplish with my mind? What can I accomplish? What can I accomplish by ego, edging God out? What can I accomplish in the flesh? What can I accomplish without explaining God? Now tell me, you know what? You can't accomplish anything without explaining God. I said, well, boy, is it creation or is it evolution? I said, you know what? Hold on. If you go with evolution, where did you get your materials from? You can't start with God's stuff. So if you're going to start with evolution, then, boy, don't start with, boy, how these things began to mutate and begin to develop. Before it began to mutate, where did you get it from? Yeah. So before we have this conversation, tell me where you get your stuff from. Because, boy, if you ain't got a God, you ain't got no stuff. Right. And I'm not giving you a head start intellectually to start with God's stuff and try saying you're going to take God's stuff and do with God's stuff what you want to do with it. That's called perversion. That's called deviation. That's called naturalism. Are we tracking together? You live in a world that emphasizes naturalism. How can I explain it without the supernatural? At the end of the day, ladies and gentlemen, it comes down to faith. The good news is the church is not in ICU. The fourth reason the church is not in ICU is because God has revealed himself and will continue to reveal himself. Romans chapter 1, the quintessential passage in the New Testament, chapter 1 through verse 16 through 25, where God makes reference to how no man is without excuse. Well, but what if they hadn't heard? Well, but look at the moon, look at the stars, look at the grass, look at the sun. There is no person who has an excuse not to submit to God. Verse 16, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation. To everyone who believes, to the Jew first, also to the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. And you know what's interesting? We're coming to a day and time where the church has to live by faith and we're concerned. Why are you concerned to live by faith when God has already said the just shall live by faith? Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God, watch this now, has shown it to them. Watch this now. God has shown it to humanity through that which is invisible. Verse 20, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world. Watch this now. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. But the good news is the church is not in ICU. Because of CIU. Amen. Online, I hope you all are typing into the chat because of CIU. Watch number five. God is not in trouble. We all say, well, you know what, man, God is in trouble and people are going to stop believing in God and people are going to stop walking with God and people are going to stop trusting God. People are going to stop believing in God. God is not in trouble. The system against God is in trouble. How many of y'all believe that, boy, there's a battle going on right now? Boy, there are two kingdoms in battle right now. There's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the devil. There's the kingdom of light and there's the kingdom of darkness. There's a kingdom that's dying and there's a kingdom that's expanding. And the question becomes, do you really believe that the kingdom of God will prevail? John 12 says this, starting in verse 27. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. For this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven, I have already glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd that stood there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, the voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto myself. You know what you guys are? You're not just lid lifters in the words of John Maxwell. You all are Christ lifters. And as long as you keep lifting Jesus, he'll keep drawing. The question is not if Christ is still drawing. The question is, are you still lifting? Will you lift him in Nigeria? Will you lift him in Zimbabwe? Will you lift him in Maryland? Will you lift him in Fort Worth? Will you lift him? As long as you keep lifting Jesus, he will keep drawing. The church is not in ICU. Hallelujah. Number six, God declared the minority would win and the majority would lose. Now, when you watch media today and boy, you watch television and boy, you watch what's online, there's the impression that the church is losing, isn't it? Be honest about it. There's the, the church is not winning because on CNN and because of MSNBC, the church is not winning and people don't want to hear about Christ. They don't want to hear about fundamental evangelical denominational fights. People don't want to hear about God and what God can do. In fact, you've got people in churches who are giving up on God. But we don't recognize the problem when you deviate from God. The problem when you're not dependent upon God. See, God, I want to encourage you guys, as you come into a lifetime of ministry, the most important thing you have is your relationship with God. And we're talking about that tomorrow. But the most important thing you have is not what you've studied. The most important thing you have is not what's hanging on the wall. The most important thing is your personal relationship and your personal walk with God. And what happens is, boy, if you don't walk with God, life will disappoint you. If you don't walk with God, you'll give up on God. As the song says, boy, don't give up on God because God won't give up on you. And we got a society of people. So you know what? God is not worth serving because if he was, my baby wouldn't have died. God is not worth serving because you see all those folks who got shot up there in Michigan. God is not worth serving because a kid got shot in the lunchroom. If God was God, why in the world did that happen? You're starting at the wrong point. See, don't start in the middle of the game and ask why is the game where it is. Start in the beginning. In the beginning, God said, you know what? You can eat from all the trees in the garden, but from this one, do not bother it. Because when you bother it, you will surely die. See, guys, we got this false impression that we deserve something from God. We don't deserve anything from God. God doesn't owe us anything. Whatever God gives us is more than what we deserve. And you got to talk to people and engage. You know what, guys? It's not that God has failed you. It's that mankind has failed God. You want to kick God out of schools. You want to kick God out the public square. But then when there's a major catastrophe, there's a natural disaster. Now we want to call upon God for his rescue. And so what happens is, you know what, it doesn't seem like God is winning, and God seems to be in the minority. But in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, these words are found. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter it by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. The reality is, guys, God is not into a numbers game. And guys, the Bible already told us the majority will not be the ones who enter into the gate. He says the gate is narrow and few therewith who find it. So don't become disturbed when you're not in the numerical majority. The good news is the church is not in ICU. Let me give you two more and let you go. Number seven, God is still empowering a minority of people to turn the world upside down. You know, I tell my kids the most important thing in the world is the WOG, it's the WOG. Can y'all say WOG? WOG. I can't say WOG. Okay, I mean, boy, y'all educated, you know, in school. Can you say WAG? WAG means the most important thing in the world is the will of God. If there's anything I could impress upon you and instill within you right now, the most important thing in the world is not your resources. It's not your background. It's not your pedigree. It's not who's supporting you. It's not what organization is behind you. The most important thing in the world is the WAG. It's the will of God. Wherever you find the will of God, God will make a way. Are we tracking together? Wherever there is God's vision, you will always find God's provision. Are we tracking together? The biggest question in the world is not do I have the money, not do I have the people, not do I have support. The biggest thing in the world is what is the will of God for my life? Because God can open up doors that no man can shut. God can provide opportunity that, boy, nobody else can give to you. God can do what nobody else can do, but it has to be the will of God. Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 9, it talks about the mission, the message, the movement, the mob, and the minority. It's the story where you all know where they said, you know what, and these few people turned the world upside down. I'm counting those people from CIU. From all over this country, to turn the world upside down. How many of you all believe that you're a world turner? It wasn't a majority, it was a minority that turned the world upside down. I got one more and I'm gonna let you go, amen? God has declared, I was trying to see where I wanted to go. God's word and God's wisdom do not have an expiration date. Have you all heard the pseudo-theology that God's word is no longer relevant? God's word doesn't really apply anymore. God's word doesn't speak to our day. There are many things left that have expiration dates you wouldn't think about. Car seats. That babysitting, they have expiration dates. Sunscreens you use when you go to Myrtle Beach have expiration dates. Tea bags you dip into tea have expiration dates. Motor oil has expiration dates. Paint has expiration date. The toothpaste you brush your teeth with has expiration dates. Ladies, how many of you all know mascara? Smile at me. Has an expiration date. Helmets that you wear have expiration. Batteries, moisturizer have expiration dates. But in Matthew 24, 32 through 35, you get reminded that God's word does not have an expiration date. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and puts out its leaves, you know what summer is near. So also when you see all these things, know that he is near at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not expire. The good news is the church is not in ICU. The church is not in ICU. Y'all stand like you mean to stand up, guys. The church is not in ICU. The church is not in ICU. One more time. The church is not in ICU. CIU is really a double entendre. And those who study Greek, you know exactly what I mean. It doesn't just mean Columbia International University. It also means Christ in you. The hope of glory. The church is not in trouble because of schools and students like CIU. And the church is not in trouble because of Christ in you. I have been crucified with Christ. No longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. The life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Amen. God bless you.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.